Center for Inclusive Childcare welcomes you to Inclusion Matters. We share resources and information to support quality childcare for all children. By partnering with early childhood professionals, parents, grandparents, and other caregivers, we work together to help every young child thrive. Welcome to Inclusion Matters, a podcast from the Center for Inclusive Childcare. I'm Priscilla Weigel, the Executive Director, and I'm back again for another part of an episode that we started talking about recently with two of my colleagues, Brenda Lowe and JC Nylander. Welcome, Brenda and JC.
Thank you. Hello, everyone.
Thank you.
Good to have you back. And Brenda and JC work, we all work at CICC, and Brenda and JC are also former coaches, as I am a former coach as well. That's one of the beauties of our team in our leadership roles. We've all been in the coaching field and we've all been in early childhood in various capacities, whether it's family childcare provider, whether it's a center-based teacher, whether it's a director, whether it's early childhood special educator. We have such depth to our team. And what we're going to talk about today as it relates to our coaching is how can we set the stage for quality infant and toddler care and not miss out on the opportunities that we have in these precious early years. So thank you both for being back. We started our conversation in our earlier episode and we talked about the need for safety, relationships, and attachment and routines when we look at the environment. Part two, we're going to talk about some other things. Why don't you share what you've got on the docket?
So today for part two, we're going to talk about individualization and communication. And like we said in part one, they're very big categories and so important. Individualization, I think, is one of my favorite topics to talk about. You know, we're the Center for Inclusive Childcare. And so really individualizing care is something near and dear to our hearts. So when we think about individualization, you know, we talked about all these components of infant and toddler care. But we also, the main thing we have to look at is that child as an individual, because sometimes we have all the tools and all the tricks and we've tried multiple different things, but they're not working for that individual child. So this encourages us to observe children in our care and to sit back and reflect on what are their strengths? What do they seem to be triggered by? What are their body cues telling us? Especially infants and toddlers, they don't have those communication skills. So we're learning to read their body cues, and what one cue from one child means isn't always necessarily, doesn't translate neatly over to the next child.
True. So true. And when you think about even something as simple as, and it's not simple, I shouldn't say that. It's a huge thing when a child is starting childcare for the very first time. And so let's say an infant is, you know, just starting out, and you as a provider working with infants, you're like, okay, I've done this a million times. I know how to transition kids into the program. I know how to make sure that everything goes smoothly. And the typical time frame for that adjustment starts to get longer and longer and longer. And you're like, whoa, why is this so hard for this little person? And that's when those things that you're just talking about, JC, the observation, the noticing the cues, the understanding that individual child, those are such important pieces.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I want to extend that to the individual child, that individual child's family.
Yes.
What's going on for that family at home? And that can really tell us a lot about how that child is responding at the program.
Yeah. Brenda, were you going to add something?
You made me think about predictability. So like last session in the podcast, we talked about routines. And when it comes to individualization, I think about like, what is a child needing that we can continue to do the same or similar as much as possible every single day? So for example, coming into our program, what does that look like for the child? Like a child with a consistent routine, eventually the way you greet them they are looking for that when they walk. Like, I drop my bag, I put it on the hook. My mom or dad give me a hug goodbye. And then Miss JC says, oh, good morning, Miss Brenda. How was your night? And for as a child, like having that predictability is setting the stage for the day. It sounds so small, but that's individualization.
Yeah. And sometimes something even that small can really be what small, quote unquote, can really be what triggers a child. Like my morning routine, my usual teacher wasn't here in the morning.
Right.
My other teacher did the exact same process and routine, but that was hard for a specific child.
Right. Yeah.
I love to think of us as adults as investigators or detectives. And, you know, this individualization can be challenging when you're, especially I think for a lot of experienced teachers where they're like, I've worked with so many different children over the years and I have a plethora of resources and trainings I've done and something isn't working here. It can feel very frustrating.
Yeah, very true. And I think too, one of the, like Brenda, when you were talking about predictability and those routine, the challenge, and we see this and we know this so well in our work, the challenge of the early educator, whether it's family childcare or center-based, you're not thinking, you're learning the predictability and the routine that makes that one child feel successful and happy. And that child, that other child, and that other child, and that other child, you have all of that in your, you're holding all of that in your brain and your heart every single day. And then when it's not going smoothly or something happens to change the way that child is receiving that routine or that predictability, it can throw the whole thing off because you don't know exactly what's causing that. And that's why, back to what you had said earlier, JC, too, is that whole connection with the family and understanding, kind of being that detective and saying, was there something that happened? Or how was bedtime last night? How did sleeping go? And being that sleuth to say, I need more information here so I can figure out how I can help this child transition. Because clearly they're having a struggle right now.
Yeah.
I think that what's hard is that when we're talking about infants and toddlers, they are not speaking yet or not as well. They can't identify what they need. So back to your detective thing, we are trying to figure out that for them, picking up on their cues because they don't know how to tell us yet. And that is the part that can be so challenging. And we hear that a lot with our coaching as well.
Yeah, I think that's why coaching can be so effective is because none of our coaches come in and know exactly what that individual child needs. You know, the educators, they know that child better than we do as coaches, but the coach can give another perspective and can say, well, what if it's this? And then you can work together and you have someone to support you and lean into when whatever you're trying, it might not work. And it might be like, okay, well, I don't think it was that. Let's go back to the drawing board. What else could it be? What else could we adapt and see if that works?
Right. And allowing yourself the grace to be like, yep, I'm going back to the drawing board. I'm going to try again. And not just throw your hands up and say, oh, this is impossible. I'll never figure this out. And I think that that's also something that the support of a coach can provide, that reflection of, well, you know what? I think I saw some positives in there, even though the end, and, you know, we ended up with some tears and, you know, the big tantrum on the floor where the child was really frustrated. But early on, I noticed some things that really seemed to connect or click. And that extra set of eyes of the coach can come in and be that supportive partner to the person who's doing it every day and in the trenches. And it just feels good to know you're not alone.
It does. Truly it does.
We've talked a lot about how all of these components, these five components in part one and part two here that we're talking about overlap. And I already mentioned it with individualization and communication with families. So Brenda, do you want to lean into that communication component and how important that is for infant and toddler care?
Yeah, thank you, JC. We've talked a bit about communication in both parts, in both segments, because it's interwoven, it's intertwined, or it should be, When I think about the communication, I can't help, but yes, I think about the child, but I'm also thinking about the family, the coworkers, the leadership team, because it's all going to fit together like a beautiful puzzle when you do it. So individualizing the communication, which you just talked about individualization, but with the communication specifically, and work on building the relationship. So thinking about how does that child communicate? And then as an adult, how am I going to respond to that meaning behind those signals, such as the infant is crying or cooing, or they're using their body language to tell us what we need. So building upon that individualization so that we're have reciprocal communication between us and the child, and we're learning to understand one another. Adapting your communication to meet the children and the family's preferences. So I may communicate and talk a certain way, but the child and the family may need me to communicate a different way.
Right.
And we know that when we're talking about infants and toddlers, you are going to be talking with families regularly because they're the voice and the advocacy for the child. And absolutely. So you're working together. Yeah. You're partnering.
Mm-hmm. Definitely. I'm glad you brought that up, Brenda, because I was just having a conversation the other day about just trying to figure out the most successful ways to keep families engaged and in the partnership of childcare. So we know that, and that going back to that individualized process and what you just said, not every family is going to want to be on their phone checking the app to see what their child is doing.
Exactly.
They might be more responsive to you connecting with them a little bit in the morning at drop off, or a little bit more in the afternoon, or maybe an email later in the day or whatever. But taking the time to find out from each person in your community of childcare, in your setting, and the family is part of that community, to really have that conversation and say, how do you want to communicate with us to make sure that you're up to date on everything that's going on? Because we know this is a partnership. So I'm so glad you touched on that opportunity, because it's also being culturally responsive, providing an equitable opportunity for everyone to be involved in the way that they feel most comfortable.
Comfortable and competent. So, yes. So good. Yeah. Like it happens all the time. Like just recently I had a coach where she was trying to reach out to the program team and they had not gotten to the emails because they were busy with the kids. There were things happening with the children and the families. Right. And so their attention, as it should be, was directed yes. that way. And so at one point I was talking to the coach and I said, what about text? And she said, oh, I hadn't tried that yet. Sure enough, she texted the program leader and got a response in minutes. And guess what the response was? I'm so sorry. I've been holding infants all day long today. And so I didn't see the email. And that is yep. a perfect example of what we're talking about here.
Yes, exactly. Exactly. Anything else related to communication that you think of when you're thinking of infants yeah. and toddlers?
A couple things. I think when you think of communication, you want good, productive communication. So you want it to be honest, open. You want a two-way street. You want to have like an open door policy, even if that's for your classroom or your family childcare, that builds trust. So going back to that magical word of trust, your communication is building that partnership and that relationship, and it's building trust. Active listening is an example of that, having empathy and respecting those families, so that they feel valued and the children feel valued, which is really, really important. And lastly, sharing positive information about the child. So, yes. so often we have concerns and we should bring those to families, but also they want to hear about those positive information and stories and funny things that have happened with their child. And that then will help strengthen that partnership.
Absolutely. It sends the message. I care about all of you. I care about all of you. And we're all in this together. Oh, that's great. We'll figure it out. Amen. Because truly it is an ongoing process. Because as we all know, just when you think you're humming along, something comes to the forefront and you go, and we say this a lot at CICC. Well, that's a new one. We've never had that one before. And It keeps life interesting, doesn't it?
It does. Never a dull moment.
Never a dull moment. Is there anything you want to add before we wrap up this great conversation about infant and toddler care and what the components are that are essential? JC, you're nodding your head.
Yeah, I just want to wrap up. So when we created, or we didn't create these, but when we thought of these five main components, we think of it as really being able to apply to any challenge you're having within your program. So you might have a child who's biting, or maybe struggling with separation anxiety, or brand new to care. Maybe you have a toddler coming in who has a diagnosis that you're unfamiliar with or never have heard of or are nervous about. And we think you can step back. And if you look at these components, think about which one you want to start with. So you have this challenge that's facing you in your infant toddler care. Where do you want to start? Is it with safety? Do you want to first start with communication? We've mentioned the overlap amongst all of them, but it gives you a good actionable place to start figuring out how to help that child and that family be successful. So we hope that that's helpful for all of you when you're thinking about caring for the infants and toddlers and their families.
That's a good example, JC. Picky eating, right?
Yeah.
Picky eaters. We hear that all the time in our classrooms. It might be infant room and it might be the toddler room. So then, to your point, I've got these different components. If I have a child that's a picky eater, where am I going to start with that? I, as a coach, I might think about the individualization of that child. What are they needing? What do they not like? Because maybe I can adjust something. And the second thing I'm going to think about is communication with the family. How are you introducing foods, which might be different to how I'm introducing food? How are you eating? Do you have a family style meals? You know, do maybe as a an educator, I might involve the children in our activities where we're making a food item and they're helping me somehow. Safely, of course, don't forget about that component. But maybe it's as simple as we're making sandwiches together and they're going to add a layer of lettuce on that sandwich. And that's their individual sandwich that they get to eat themselves when they're all done. And maybe they'll take a bite because guess what? They made it. So that right. might be individualization.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. And I think that's a great reminder. So let's just run through those five things: safety, relationship, and attachment, routines and environment, individualization, and communication. And now we're just, hopefully we're not giving you all the tools you need to do it by yourself, because guess what? We're here for you. As I've said many times throughout these two parts, you know, at the Center for Inclusive Childcare, we are gratefully funded by the Department of Children, Youth, and Families to provide free coaching support to all of you who are licensed childcare providers in the state of Minnesota. And we are grateful to have that opportunity to get to know you, to hear about your concerns. And truly, any concern is welcome. I mean, that's what our intake specialists do. They find out, they're the sleuths. They kind of gather that first initial call with some of that key information. And then they connect with the coaching team and say, okay, I'm going to be, you know, handing this off to Brenda for this situation. Here's what I learned in my intake call. And then Brenda takes it and she connects with that educator, that childcare provider out there in the field, sets up a visit and starts that relationship. And it's just so helpful. And we hear this all the time in our evaluation, in our surveys that we put out. People really just, one of the primary things is to just have someone in their corner and not feel alone. And if that's all we can provide, yes. If you really just feel like, I just need someone else to just come and see this situation, because maybe I'm missing something. We can do that. And that's, you know, we often will say, why wouldn't you? It's free. Just try it. So thank you, JC and Brenda, for being here with me today and joining me on Inclusion Matters, our podcast at CICC. We're so grateful that we've, you know, been around. We're coming up on 30. We're celebrating our 30th year, everyone. And so you're going to be hearing more about those celebrations and what we're going to be doing to commemorate that huge milestone. But thank you, JC Nylander and Brenda Lowe, for being here. And I appreciate you.
So it's been fun.
Great. And If you have any further questions about coaching, you can go to our info@inclusivechildcare.org, or you can call us. The phone number is on our website. And we also have a ton of resources and tools and things that will really help equip you for the day-to-day, for if you're a parent of a young child, or if you're a grandparent or a caregiver of any sort, if you're spending time with little ones, we have what you need. So reach out. Thanks, everyone.
For more information and a wide range of resources, visit inclusivechildcare.org. You'll find information on our coaching services and support on topics such as healthy child development, strategies for encouraging positive behavior, and guidance on including children with unique social, emotional, and learning needs, and much more.